This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
I'm Sarah. Welcome to Sarah News number 1140. Today we'll be hearing a talk given by Professor Venkatraman on Krishna's birthday on the year 2003. So I'm Gulab Lemoria, and I offer my most loving and humble pronouns at the Lord's feet, my most beloved Bhagavan, Sri Sathya Sai Baba. Let's hear the talk.
Sri Rama Sharanam Mama, Sri Krishna Sharanam Mama, Sri Sai Sharanam Mama. Most loving Bhagavan, on behalf of all the devotees gathered here and millions on this globe who wish they were here, I place our collective salutations at your divine lotus feet. Esteemed elders, dear sisters and brothers, and my dear students, greetings to all of you on this holy and auspicious day. Ashtami is normally looked with some kind of disfavor, but this is one Ashtami we all look forward to so eagerly. And what a wonderful Ashtami it has been. Bhagavan says that when babies are born, they cry. They just don't cry. They cry in a very special way. They say, Koham, who am I? They don't know who they are, and that is why they cry. Bhagavan adds that when God came down as Krishna and was born as a baby, he did not cry. He came smiling. He did not have to ask Koham because he jolly well knew who he was. Not only that, he knew precisely what he was going to do and when exactly he was going to do. After all, he was the master and he had the master plan in him. There was no need for him to cry. Various interpretations have been given to the significance of the Krishna avatar. But most people would agree that perhaps the highlight of that avatar was the message that the Lord gave on the battlefield, an internal message which of course he reminds us and Arjuna that it was given earlier. But on the battlefield it took a particular form and it has remained with us ever since. But are we doing anything about that message? In this avatar we see many unique features. One of them is that the message has been repeated literally ad nauseam. And some of us can claim, I have heard 100 discourses, I am on my way to my second double century and things like that. But has it made any impact? This is a question we ought to ask ourselves. We ought to do a bit of soul searching, at least on this day. Normally, on occasions like this, when I am asked to speak, I usually pick up some points from the Lord's teachings and amplify them. Today, I am going to depart from my usual practice and with good reason. The Lord not only gives a message, but lives His message. There are innumerable shades to this living the message. And there is one aspect of it that I would like to call particular attention to today, for the simple reason that this aspect of Bhagavan's message is very, very unique to this avatar. And this avatar is doing this because it is very, very important and relevant for this day and age. I am here referring to the massive projects, socially oriented projects so called. There are many of these and we know about them. But today I would like to make some reference to one of these projects which we have barely heard about and of which we know precious little. But we should know, because God works very silently, and things that He is doing should not miss our attention. We have a duty to know, and we have a responsibility to know, and more than that, we have a duty to learn lessons from what the Lord is doing. So, with the blessings and permission of Bhagwan, I would like to spend some time talking about the Sri Satya Sai drinking water project for Chennai, which has been going on for some time, which we have barely heard of and about which we know very little. It started rather dramatically and in a most unexpected fashion. To be precise, on the 19th of January in the year 2002, you will recall, on the 19th of January in the year 2001, a very big super speciality hospital was inaugurated in Whitefield in Bangalore by the Prime Minister. 1 year later, to celebrate the anniversary, a health meet was organized at the hospital. And for this health meet, many famous doctors and learned intellectuals had come to attend. And on that occasion, Bhagwan gave a divine discourse, as one expected him to. Naturally, he spoke about health and matters relating to health and so forth. But suddenly, in the midst of that, it seemed very strange. I was there in the audience. Suddenly, in the midst of that, he made a very dramatic announcement. I would now like to read out that announcement because it is very, very important. This was made on 19th of January in the year 2002. And this is what Swami said. He said, "Today, I have made a new resolve. Madras is suffering from acute shortage of drinking water. The rich can buy water sold by the tanker services, but what about the poor? They have to depend on rainwater that is collected in puddles and ditches, thus spoiling their health. I have therefore decided to work towards bringing drinking water to Madras, no matter how difficult and costly the task is. This wish of mine will fructify without fail. Success springs from deep conviction. Sai Sankalpa is Vajra Sankalpa." Dr. Sainath, in his talk, said that God gives even when you don't ask. This is one classic example. Did the people of Madras come there and pray to Bhagwan, "Oh Bhagwan, give us rain or at least water"? They did not. It is his monumental compassion that made him do this. Now at this point, I want to give you some background, because without that you cannot understand the magnitude of the compassion that Bhagwan felt for the people of Chennai. Incidentally, I don't know how many of you know why Chennai is called Chennai. 400 years ago, it was a small village which used to be called Chennai Patnam. In fact, in one of his discourses many years ago, Bhagwan made a reference to it. At that time, it was a small fishing village and a weaver's colony. The British landed there and established the Fort St. George, which is there still today, the seat of government. The British went north much later. And when in 1857, as you know, the governance of the provinces and the colonies was transferred from the East India Company to the British government. And there was a governor in Madras appointed by the Crown. In the year 1886, an engineer named Fraser, associated with the Public Works Department, was asked to do something about the problem of drinking water for the people of Madras, Greater Madras. At that time, Greater Madras had a population of about 3.5 to 4 lakhs, compared to 7 million today. And at that time, they used to get water from wells. Even the governor had to drink well water at that time. And in most places, the well water was not very good. So this Fraser surveyed the area and he said, it is good we build a small dam across a river called Kosalayar, which is just north of the city. And during northeast monsoon, rains will come, there will be water in the river. We can store it in two reservoirs. One of them is called Sholavaram, other is called Red Hills. Incidentally, near Sholavaram, they built an Air Force base during the Second World War, and that airstrip is now used for car racing. Those who are sports fans may know that. So the water collected in Sholavaram and Red Hills was used for drinking as also for irrigation. By the turn of the century, they stopped giving that water for irrigation and decided to use it only for drinking. Madras city started growing and the need for water became more and more. So one more reservoir was added, and that was called the Pundi Reservoir. This name is important. It will come very shortly again in my talk. Now, these three reservoirs were trying to supply water to the city. The water from these canal reservoirs was taken by a pipe to Kilpok, where there was not only a lunatic asylum but also water filtration plant. By the mid-50s, it became very clear that Madras was in deep trouble and they had to do something about the water supply. Nobody knew what exactly was to do. Independence had just come, and I think in the year 1965, a statement was made in the parliament that we would tap the waters of Krishna River and make it available to city of Madras. 3 years later, the chief secretaries of the states of Maharashtra, Andhra Pradesh, Karnataka and Tamil Nadu signed an agreement whereby Krishna River, which flows through three riparian states of Maharashtra, Karnataka and Andhra, would form the source. And these three states each agreed to release 5 TMC, 1 TMC is 1000 million cubic feet, 5 TMC of water for drinking purposes for the city of Madras, which is now called Chennai. So 3 into 5 is 15. So each state very magnanimously offered 5 TMC. Nobody knew how that water was going to be brought to Madras. Probably all those states thought this is not going to happen, so why not promise something which will never happen anyway. And then in the 70s, since nothing was happening about Krishna water, a project was launched to bring water from the Kaveri River to Madras. I know about this because I served in Kalpakkam, where Mr. Chakravarti, who is now the Secretary of Central Trust, was also placed. And we both used to see the ghost of the Viranam project, because Viranam project was born and died in no time, for reasons we need not go into. And in any case, the project would not have survived for long, because Kaveri has very little water now anyway. So in the 80s, the problem became acute again. And it was decided by the then chief ministers of Tamil Nadu and Andhra Pradesh to have a project whereby Krishna water would be brought to Pennar by a channel. A big reservoir would be created at a place called Kandaleru, and that water would be brought by a canal, which was first called Kandaleru-Pundi Canal. Kandaleru to Pundi. Pundi in Tamil Nadu, Kandaleru in Andhra Pradesh. It was to bring Krishna water that way to the city of Madras. This project was launched in 1983 in Madras, and it was inaugurated by Srimati Indira Gandhi, then Prime Minister. The project was supposed to have been completed in 1996, and Krishna water was supposed to flow into Pundi. I will now give you how much of water actually flowed. 15 TMC was supposed to flow, of which 3 was supposed to be lost due to evaporation. So 12 was guaranteed. But do you know what happened? In the year 1996 to 1997, only 0.076 TMC, less than 0.1 TMC came to the Pundi Reservoir. Next year it was 2.3, next year it was 2.8, dip again 1.8 and so on. And in the year 2001 to 2002, it was just 0.222 TMC instead of 12 TMC. A real disaster. We knew nothing about this, but Bhagwan knew about this. He knew how the people were suffering in the slums. And that is why he made the dramatic announcement in the year 2002 on January 19. As Sainath said, my heart melts when I see my people suffer. Our hearts don't melt, we don't even have a heart. But God is not like that. Now let me very quickly tell you something about this project, because we know very little about it. Why is it that the Telugu Ganga project, as it was called, the Kandarilo Pondi Canal, did not deliver water? A lot of effort had gone into it. A lot of money had been spent, but yet no water was coming. What was the reason? The reason was, perhaps, poor technology. Basically, the canal was just a long human-made ditch. It was not a proper canal, engineering irrigation canal. It was just a long ditch. In many places, it was very steep. And as a result, the slope just caved in and blocked the water flow. Many places the soil was very loose and water just seeped into the ground. And many places people just cut channels and drained water as they wanted for irrigation. So even if water was released at Kandalero, very little was reaching in Pondi. And after Bhagwan made the announcement, as in the case of the Anantapur project, the office bearers of the Central Trust got into consultation with the engineers and they decided that many things ought to be done to rejuvenate the Kandalero-Pondi canal. Step number one, the reservoir in Kandalero had to be made pakka. For this purpose, a lot of work was done with respect to the walls of the reservoir. The capacity, holding capacity of the reservoir was also substantially increased. So a lot of stone revetment, excavation, gunniting, etc. had to be done. Then as far as the channel is concerned, the canal had to be lined with cement, widened. I mean, you should see the photograph. I wish I could show you the photograph. It's just marvelous, beautiful. And not only that, we have got canals elsewhere like the Indira Gandhi Canal in Rajasthan, but the water seeps in spite of putting concrete. So in this canal, for the first time in India, they have used a polyethylene film sheet between two layers of concrete so that the water would not seep. This is a very unique feature of this canal. And as a result, water can flow very smoothly from Kandalero to Pondi. Let me give you a few numbers to give you a feel for what's been going on. The soil excavation, 11 million cubic meters of soil has been excavated in connection. A canal is already supposed to exist, but 11 million cubic feet of extra soil had to be excavated. Hard rock excavation, almost 1 lakh cubic meters. Stone masonry work, 15,000 cubic meters. Stone revetment work, particularly in Kandalero, 30,000 cubic meters. Cement concrete gunniting, particularly in Kandalero, 2,35,000 square meters. Cement concrete lining elsewhere, 1,85,000 square meters. 4,000 people have been working on this project day and night at any given instant of time, with about 50 supervisory engineers all along the length, 165 kilometers from Kandalero to Pondi. This has been going on very silently and we know nothing about it. I would like you to recall what Mr. Chakravarti said from here on January 1st. I don't know how many of you remember. He brought a Tamil newspaper published in Madras and he said, he read out, somebody in Madras city heard about this, they did not believe, they went there, they saw some work going on, they did asked who is doing this, no words, no boards, nothing. And the paper wrote, normally when a project is done, they put big billboards to advertise who is doing, how much money is being spent. But here something was going on, there was no advertisement. So the man became curious, who is doing this? Then he discovered it was Bhagwan. And he has been going there, that newspaper has been going there again and again, and just very recently they had a full page splash which showed a photograph of Bhagwan and said, just a little more, it is coming, it is on its way. Indeed, it is on its way and very soon it will be there. Now this is nothing new for Swami, though it might be new for the people of Madras. We have all seen what happened in the year 1994 when Swami spoke in November in the presence of the then Prime Minister, drawing attention to the plight of the people in Rayalaseema. But then, you know, government left the whole suggestion. Swami said on that occasion, and I would like to quote that, he says, if there is any constraint of finance, Swami is ready to help in fulfilling this dire need of the people of Rayalaseema. He begins by saying, I wish to draw the attention of the Prime Minister to the age-old drinking water problem that is affecting most parts of Rayalaseema, especially the remote villages where people have to walk several miles to get a pot of drinking water. This needs immediate reversal. And that immediate reversal started just a few months, 4 months later, when in March 1995, Bhagawan gave an instruction, very simple. When I heard it, I was just moved. It was so simple, direct, precise. He said, I want you to provide safe drinking water to as many people in as many villages as possible in the shortest possible time, no matter what the difficulty, no matter what the cost. That was the mandate. This was in March 1995. And in November 1995, over there, the then Prime Minister of India was asked to inaugurate the Anantapur summer storage tank. And I remember him saying, today Anantapur has become Anandapur. And this is what he said. This is very important. He says, statistics show Anantapur district to be a very dry one. Moreover, in many places, the groundwater is not fit for drinking due to fluoride. I have been the minister in charge for this district and I know how difficult it is to work here. It is our good fortune that by Baba's grace, good drinking water flows in a place where there was hardly any. So, coming to the rescue of people is nothing new. Did the people of Rayalaseema come and plead here? They did not. They were pleading to the government and for 100 years government did not do anything. But they knocked some other door opened. This is not all. In 1997, right here, it was the Vijayadashmi day, Purnahuti was over, the entire waterworks was handed over to the people of Andhra Pradesh as a gift. And on that occasion, the Chief Minister of Andhra Pradesh said, and this is very important, I would like to quote him. He said, the project was started in March 1995. Since then, spending 350 crores, water has been provided to 731 villages, covering a population of nearly a million. Let me tell you, my dear students, never in the history of this country, or for that matter any country, has a project of this magnitude been done for the sake of villagers. Villagers living in remote villages. I know because I've gone to these villages and I've seen how they have reacted. And the Chief Minister says, all this work ought to have been done by the state and central governments. But it was done single-handed by Bhagawan Baba. On that occasion, right here, Bhagawan made a very, very profound statement which shows his limitless compassion. He said, and I quote, I am always ready to help you and to serve you. You may belong to any village or any district or even any state for that matter. I do not have any feelings of difference, religious, regional or national. I do not go by the position of people nor the place to which they belong. All are the same to me and I serve equally. And that has been proved by the Chennai project. Let me add a few minor footnotes before I withdraw. Footnote number one. In August last year, 2002 that is, yes, 2002, there was a very big meeting in Johannesburg in South Africa, the Earth Summit. At that Earth Summit, the Anantapur Medak Mahabubnagar projects were presented in the form of a video show to the delegates who came from all over the world. It was not done by us. The Satya Sai Central Trust did not do it. It was done by HUDCO, an agency of the Government of India, because it identified this as one of the most beautiful projects ever done in this country, a project that was done selflessly. And seeing that video, the Earth Summit decided that there would be a World Water Forum in Kyoto in Japan in March 1995. In March 1995, there was a World Water Forum in Kyoto, which was attended by many leading people from all over the world. And there was a satellite symposium in Osaka. The theme of that symposium was water and cities. And in that satellite symposium, Mr. Ramakrishna Velanti was invited by the UN Habitat, which was the sponsor of the conference, to make a presentation on the Chennai Water Project. And in the Kyoto, if I am not mistaken, meeting, Professor Anantharaman, who must be somewhere here, gave a talk on the Anantapur project. Management expert, he should be flashing slides, charts and all that. He did not do that. He simply started by saying, I am going to tell you a love story, and that brought the whole house down. And the love story was Bhagwan's love for the people of Rayalaseema. And this word love is very important, because in March last year there was a human habitat meeting arranged by HUDCO, at which the Central Trust was asked to make a presentation. And there were questions from people like the Asian Development Bank officials, IMF officials, the World Bank officials. One question was asked: you say Sai Baba spent so many 300 million crores of rupees and gave away the entire waterworks to the people of the state. What does he get in return? And the members of the trust answered, when bankers spend money, they always look for return in terms of money. Bhagwan does not look at money, he only looks at love, and he does not even expect any love in return. His nature is to give and give and give, and he gives love, which is the scarcest commodity in the world today. There is a reason why I talk about this. Of course, there are so many other missions of Bhagwan. Today being Krishnashtami, I am reminded of a beautiful song in the film Meera, which was released more than 50 years ago. And in that song, which was sung by M.S. Subbulakshmi, it's a Tamil song. This particular song has the opening words as follows: Andanalum vandidado Brindavanathil kannan valarnda. Will not those days, glorious days, come back when Krishna grew up in Vrindavan? Dear students, Bhagwan has told us any number of times that Krishna left Vrindavan rather early, and the Gopikas were left in wilderness, left to search for Krishna, not only in creepers and in trees and in flowers, but also in their heart. We are very much more lucky. Bhagwan is here with us all the time. Those days have come. If I could meet Meera, I would tell her, Amma, Krishna is now here. He is here with us all the time. Please come and enjoy this. I hope she hears and she will be here with us. But we must also learn how to count our blessings. We must know how precious this opportunity is. I remember every time I talk to Mr. Bob Bazani, he comes from the other end of the world in California. He says, do you realize how lucky we are to see all this? You know, people 50 years from now will not believe them if we tell them all this. Do we have that feeling, my dear students? I don't. Let me be very frank. I just go through the day like a robot. It should not be. This is not the time to be robotic. This is the time to feel when the Lord is here. I tell you, after the fracture, when Bhagwan gave the first darshan inside Thrai, in the circular veranda upstairs, boys were singing, and after Aarti, he just smiled, looked down, and he saw Mr. Ramakrishna down of L&T. I was standing next to him. Oh, you are here. How is the project going? When will it be completed? I mean, on that occasion, when he's still, you know, suffering, not recovered, his thought was about the project, when it would be completed. It was a most moving sight for me. I was in tears, and Mr. Ramakrishna was so moved, he could not respond. It's a normal question seemingly, but the occasion was so poignant. It is in the presence of that Lord we are now here. Let us remember one thing. The mission of the Lord will go on without us and in spite of us. But if you are smart, we will try to get a small piece of the action, just as the squirrel did 2 yugas ago. Let us at least try to be like that squirrel. And Bhagwan is giving us so much opportunity. The squirrel was not asked to do, but Swami is giving us so many opportunities. Why don't we seize it and make our lives worthwhile and redeem it at least in small measure? With that appeal to myself and to all of you, I seek Bhagwan's permission to stop at this point, and I thank you all for your patience. Jai Sai Ram.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.